Hey guys, and welcome to this week's On the Trail podcast with Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray. Stay tuned. You'll get your inside look at the current going-ons within Iowa State athletics, specifically recruiting. But before we start the show, here's a shout-out to our sponsor, The Exercise Coach, that's located down on Mill Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. The Exercise Coach, it's changing the way that you think about fitness. Achieve the results that you want, no matter what they are, with these two 20-minute workouts per week. Now, hey, let's jump on the trail. Here are your hosts, Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray.
What's up, Cyclone fans? This is Adam Gray, joined by Jared Stansberry. Another edition of On the Trail podcast. Jared, how you doing today, buddy?
Well, I was doing pretty good until we just had to do that intro six different times.
Well, in my defense, six different times because you kept messing up.
No, because you talked too loud on one of them.
You tell me every time that I need to bring the energy,
you
bring the passion.
You do need to bring the energy, but you need to do it with – you got to keep it under control, man.
Oh, man, it's always been an issue of mine. I don't know how to rein it back a little bit. But, yeah, no, I'm excited to be here. Another On the Trail podcast brought to you by our good friends, The Exercise Coach in West Des Moines. Got a lot to talk about today, Jared. I don't know if people have been jumping on Cyclone Fanatic, but you had a great little blog out there last week with a lot of information on basketball recruiting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're just going to jump right into it?
Let's jump right into it. I think it's the most important thing. I think it's what people people are most excited about basketball recruiting because people – do you agree with this? You're a little bit more, like, invested into a basketball recruit because there's so many football recruits. There's fewer basketball. Yeah. You feel like you kind of get to know them. You follow them a little bit more. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think you just, like, you remember them better, you know?
You do. And I mean, there's 13 scholarship players for basketball. There's what? 85 for football,
right?
And so you know I think there's a little bit more of just the fans relate a little bit more to the basketball players just because they see them so much more.
Yeah, so I had a handful of different names. First I'll start with Iowa State will be in to see Lindell Wigginton.
Yeah,
on Steve Prohm's going to see him on Wednesday.
I feel like we're just saying this like deja vu.
Yeah,
right now on this podcast every week they send Neil Berry or, you know, D-Rob or somebody out there to go take a look at him.
Yeah, definitely. Just got to keep that open. It sounds like I think he might be visiting Arizona State this weekend.
And I think that's probably one of the reasons why he's going there, don't you think?
Yeah, probably.
Just to stay in front of him and remind him.
Well, it's just like when
he went
on the Oregon visit. You know, they were there before he went out there, and then they visited him again right when he got back.
Yeah.
I would imagine they'll do the same thing.
You know, it's like when I used to date, when I was dating Julie, not when I'm married. It's completely different now. Before I'd ever go on a long trip with the guy, she would always be a little bit, you know, a little bit more lovey towards me, you know, give me a little bit more kisses. Why? Because she wanted to remind me before I went off on a guy's trip what was back home. How about that for an analogy?
There you go.
She's going to hate me that I said that. But it's true, though. It's the same thing. Hey, Wigginton, before you go to Arizona State, remember, we've been here. We've been invested in you. We love you, buddy.
That is really weird, dude. That was really weird.
It's weird, but it's true.
Oh, man.
Probably not one of my better analogies.
So late last week, before practice started, William Small was pretty much – he went to Memphis, and then he went everywhere in Memphis, pretty much. He's all over the place.
Good. Who do we got?
I thought you were going to react. You didn't really, yeah. You just kind of
– that he was in Memphis?
Yeah, well, I was just saying he was everywhere, and you're just like – it's just silence.
I don't know what you want me to say.
Okay,
is he walking in Memphis?
No. Okay, good. That's a good reference. So he saw two guards in the 2018 class, TJ Moss and Tyler Harris. They're both in the top 100. They're four stars. Harris, he's number 59. He's 5'9".
Whew.
Yeah.
We got like a little Tyler Ulis on our hands here.
Dude, he's so quick.
Tyler Ulis, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, damn, he's only five. He's five. It has him 5'9", 150 on his 247 page. I was like, there's no way that can be right. And then I watched him, and yeah, it you can definitely see that.
So here's my question, though. I like bigger point guards. Tyler Ulis obviously was a phenomenal player, an All-American.
Right.
Would Tyler Ulis have been as good of a player if you'd say he played at an Iowa State versus a Kentucky where you have so many other great players around you to kind of help spread the court, make his job easier? Because they can't really pressure and take, you know, take the ball out of his hands. You got to guard everyone there. What do you think on this? Do you think
I don't know that he's – yeah, I definitely can see what you're saying. I think on, like, last year's Iowa State team, though, he would have been pretty successful still.
Okay.
With, like, George and –
do you think he would have been an All-American?
Probably not an All-American. But he also wouldn't have gotten the exposure that he does at Kentucky or did at Kentucky. you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if you're an All-American at Kentucky, it doesn't matter how good you – unless you're, like, National Player of the Year, Buddy Hield type guy, you're going to get more exposure than George Niang probably did. I bet Tyler Ulis was on ESPN way more than George ever was.
Do you think so?
Not, like, games maybe.
You're talking about highlights?
Yeah, but with, like, people repeatedly talking about him and stuff like that.
No, I would agree with that.
Because just Kentucky gets brought up so much just for being Kentucky, you know?
Well, and I guess back to my point is I like Tyler Ulis. He's obviously a great player. He's in the NBA right now. But typically, when I look at a 5'9 guard, I'm a little scared. Maybe it's the Tavon Sledge that I keep thinking back of, who's 5'9 for Iowa State, lasted 1 year. And I think he went to Iona, and then I don't think he finished his career at Iona. But you got to be really, really damn good everything when you're 5'9", because you're at such a disadvantage from everyone else, especially when you get into Big 12 play, where there's the size, the speed, everything. So I don't know. I'm gonna have to watch a little bit of this kid's video.
Yeah,
you're not worried about it though.
It's not that I'm not worried about it, but the dude can ball. Like I'm not gonna deny that.
Okay.
You know, I mean, he's really quick. He's got a pretty good handle and.
He has to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one, TJ Moss, he's the number 80 prospect. He's a shooting guard, 6'3". This dude can stroke it.
He can fill it up.
Yeah. I mean, he was shooting threes from like 6 feet behind the high school arc. Yeah.
We love our shooters here at Iowa State too.
Right.
He loves the long ball.
Like he just reminded me of like the fill-in guy for Matt Thomas, like that kind of guy.
So these are 2018 kids.
Yeah.
Who was Iowa State competing against for these guys right now?
For Harris, he's got offers from Kansas, Purdue, LSU, Xavier, and Auburn.
Okay, this changes a little bit. You didn't tell me he was off by Kansas. And you're talking about the 5'9 kid.
Yeah.
Okay. My worry's gone a little bit.
So this is like the So I guess he is kind of maybe in that Tyler Ulis range.
Yeah. I mean, that's Bill Self. I mean,
yeah.
His record speaks for itself. If he offers a kid, the kid's going to be pretty damn good.
With Moss, he's got offers from Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, UConn, TCU, and Memphis. So some pretty good ones there too.
Yeah. No, I mean, those are all schools that I think Iowa State can beat.
He has more, but those are just the ones that I had listed here.
So these guys, now we got Tubby Smith at Memphis. Mm-hmm. Harder to pull these guys out, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, I say that. Josh Pastner, he recruited phenomenal. He just never coached. Worth a crap.
Right. So. But then there's two more, including one of them who is on the staff for Memphis basketball right now, Chandler Lawson.
His
dad is.
Yes.
That's what I meant. He's a five-star forward in the 2019 class. Both of his brothers play at Memphis right now, too.
So his brother, who was a freshman this year, I watched some of their games.
Yeah.
The team wasn't that great, but this kid's a stud.
Yeah.
He kind of reminds me of some of those guys.
Well, I think both brothers are good, but one of them is better than the other
the
one.
The freshman. Yeah. I mean, he's a legitimate.
And then, but I think he might be
lottery
the
pick.
One that's supposed to be the best one. Chandler, the really? Five-star in 2019.
Well, this is what needs to happen, right? Prom needs to call up that dad down there in Memphis. Double his salary. Bring him up here. What do you think? I mean, Kansas does it. Memphis does it.
I can't remember.
Mario Chalmers.
I feel like when like Tubby Smith got hired, there was some kind of like issue over this.
Well, he
with the
didn't
guy
he,
coming
didn't he
back.
Try to get rid of the coach?
That's
and then
what I thought.
The players were going to transfer.
They were going to go to the NBA. Both of them were or something.
Wow. And the question is, do you just bite the bullet and say, hey, we're going to suck for a year or two, but I want to just clean house and start over? Because Memphis, they got players there, but they don't have. They've kind of had this underachieving attitude lately.
Yeah. But he only has a
– How tall is this kid?
He's 6'8", 180 pounds.
Okay. So he's about the same size as his brother. I think his brother is very similar to that.
Right. And he's the number 21 prospect in the 2019 class and the number 4 power forward. But his only listed offer on 247 is Florida. And then Memphis has his crystal ball. But obviously that has – more to do with all the connections surrounding him, I would say.
Yeah. Is it Diedrich Lawson? I'm sorry. I'm looking this up right now as we're
Chandler.
Talking. No, I know Chandler. Is it Diedrich, the one that was a stud?
I don't know. I'm sure they're on, like, Draft Express.
Yeah, I'm pulling this up here. I'm interested to look because I remember watching the kid thinking, this kid's legit. He's a stud. And I just want to see where the mock drafts have him right now. Diedrich Lawson, they don't have anything right now.
Okay. Maybe he's not that good then.
No, he's good.
The other one was DJ Jeffries. He actually lives in Mississippi, Olive Branch. Olive Branch High School is where he goes. He's the number 5 prospect and the number 3 small forward in the 2019 class. Yeah. 6'7", 185 pounds. In this I wrote, to put it simply, he's a freaking stud. That's pretty much all you can say about him when you watch his film.
Is it bad that when I hear this stuff, the pessimism comes out in me where I don't care to follow him because I don't think there's any chance Iowa State gets a kid like that. Like, I like the kids in the 40s, 40s to the 100s. Yeah, you know, let's go get like a Wigington, you know.
But you have to remember, this is 2 years out, you know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is 2019. Like, who knows that he'll be the number 5 player in the country in 2019? Two, if you can get in there and build up a relationship, you know, at least throw your hat in the ring, I guess.
You're young and you're optimistic, and I like that.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying they're going to get him. I'm trying to explain the logic in it.
Yeah, no, I get it. If you're going to get a kid like that, two things need to happen. One, they need to be like a local, mm-hmm. Harrison Barnes, where you can get it and get him to commit here. Or two, like you said, you're in on him so early that you can build that relationship. And a lot of it, too, you have to be good during that time.
Right.
Like, Iowa State's got to go out and win this year. If Iowa State goes out and lays an egg and they're recruiting this kid.
He's about to play his sophomore season of high school basketball.
Oh, man. Yeah. I know, I'm just – okay, so you're right. He may drop down a little bit, but more than likely he's not going to drop down past top 20. I mean, as long as the kid's working at it, typically he's got God-given talent to where he's top 5 right now. Every school in the country is going to offer him.
He's got offers from Kansas, Memphis, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and a lot more.
And those are all good recruiters.
Yeah.
All good recruiters right there. I know you don't like
Ole
Ben
Miss,
Howland.
Who's their coach?
Is Kennedy still their coach?
I don't know.
I don't either. Bill Self, Ben Howland.
Well, yeah. I guess all the other names are enough to know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's – so those are the –
It'd be quite the poll.
Those are 4 of the guys that he saw in Memphis. There's one more, Ryan Boyce. He's a 2018 forward, 6'5", 188 pounds, but he's number 161 prospect and the number 41 small forward. But listen to these offers. Florida and Western Kentucky.
That's it?
Then there's some more, but those are two that – those are pretty good offers for a kid that's 161.
Well, typically Western Kentucky you wouldn't think is a good offer.
But
if you actually look at the recruiting class lately, it's unbelievable.
With shout out to my boy, Rick Stansberry.
The coach?
Yeah.
Is he cheating down there?
I don't know. I want to know if he's somehow related to me. Rick Stansberry. It's spelled the exact same way. Has to be.
How tall is he?
I don't know. He's like my distant cousin. I need to get in on Western Kentucky. I just need to go move down there.
I mean, how does Western Kentucky – they've had good basketball players there, right? They had –
Yeah.
Who was it that made the shot to beat Drake back in the NCAA tournament?
I don't know. I was going to bring that up too.
Gosh, he's in the NBA still. He's had a nice NBA career. If Bloom's listening right now, he's probably screaming listening to this about the name. And it's at the tip of my tongue. But anyway, they've had nice players. They've had good teams. But to land 5 stars at Western Kentucky, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm going to call shenanigans.
Rick Stansberry's a good coach. He had some good years at, was it Mississippi State?
Yeah, that's great. But he's at Western Kentucky.
They have a basketball history at Western Kentucky.
Yeah, of landing 5 stars?
Okay, maybe not.
There's a
difference
there. I
feel like they probably did. There was like one really historic player that
Courtney,
went to Western Kentucky.
Gosh. Courtney Lee.
Oh, yeah.
Lee. Sorry, it was driving me crazy.
He probably wasn't a 5-star recruit, though.
No, but he's
had a good NBA
nice
career.
NBA career, yeah.
He's part of the super team, the New York Knicks, isn't he?
The Derrick Rose-led super team?
Yeah.
He might be.
That's if Derrick Rose – yeah. No, I won't go there. But and then there's one more. This one was – like early last week, but Iowa State went in to watch Xavier Foster, 2020 forward from Oskaloosa. They watched him work out.
No offer yet that we know of?
No, not that I know of yet, but 6'9", 200 pounds.
So
in the 2020 class.
I watched the YouTube video of this. I think you put it in the link, right?
Yeah.
And all it is them essentially laying the ball on the baseline, him picking it up and dunking it. And based on that, I text you right away and I said, offer this kid right now. He's a freshman. He looks like he could be a senior.
Yeah.
And I know it, there's no moves to it or anything, but the fact that he's doing what he's doing as a freshman, and he's got 3 or 4 years to develop. I'm sorry. Offer that kid right now. I'll be shocked if that kid's not a top 40 recruit in the country by the time he's a senior. And it's hard to predict, but there's just not that many big guys that are that athletic looking.
Especially he's gonna be in class 3A. He's gonna put up numbers.
You think?
I don't know who's in Oskaloosa's conference, but like, I figure it probably is like schools like Carlisle and Knoxville and places like that.
Here's my thing. If Adam Woodbury can be a top 50 recruit in the country and be offered by Ohio State and North Carolina, this kid will be a top 50 kid recruit in the country and be offered by damn near everybody.
I don't know how tall was Adam Woodbury when he was a freshman?
Oh, 7 foot, but he also had a vertical about 8 inches, so yeah. It's all relative.
I remember talking to people that played against him in high school, and they're like, that dude is not that good. He's just huge.
You know, and I heard that too from people, but I never knew whether or not to believe it because
he shot like 30-something percent from the free throw line in high school.
Which he was actually a good free throw shooter in college too. He shot in the 70s, mind. I think. Yeah. But you never know too because you never know the team around and the coaching if they find ways to get into the ball. And he obviously was not an athletic guy to where he could just go out and jump everybody.
I remember the first time I ever watched him live, though. It was like, damn, this guy's more athletic than you would think he would be. Like, but that was because he was so – I think it was because he was so much bigger than everybody. It made him look like he was more athletic, you know.
And to give him credit, too, we're talking about a
Hawk. Who he's playing against, too.
But he also went out to – was like the LeBron James camp or something? Well, was the MVP?
He was the MVP of the NBA Top 50 camp.
NBA, that's what it was. NBA Top 50. And that's where he kind of blew up and got the North Carolina offer and everything. But back to it, I mean, you look at a kid like that. He's 7 feet tall. I mean, let's be honest. That's the main reason he's getting offered by all these schools. Had a little bit of touch, but he wasn't great around the basket or anything like that. And he was a top 50 recruit. I'm watching this kid at Oskaloosa, and I'm looking at him saying, he's only a freshman, but if he keeps developing like he looks like he should, he will be a big-time recruit.
Oh, yeah.
So offer him early. He's an Iowa kid, and just stay on him.
I can't wait to see what kind of numbers that guy's going to put up. He might average. By the time he's a senior, if he's like as good as – he could be. I don't know. 25 a game?
We're talking up a freshman in high school.
That'd be crazy.
He's grabbing the ball turnaround dunks for a freshman in high school. Oh, man. Unbelievable. No, it's actually nice, though. It'll be fun to have a kid from the state of Iowa that Iowa State's going after. When was the last one we had? Last kid from the state of Iowa that Iowa State really went after. Not like a late offer. They late offered a couple kids back, you know.
Is it Harrison Barnes?
Probably, because Marcus Page.
Yeah.
But Marcus Page was kind of an Eastern Iowa guy, too. I don't know. I think of like a West State, and they offered as a freshman. He never came to Iowa State.
That dude.
Dykstra.
That guy was a dude.
He was West a dude. State. For a couple of years, he was a dude. And then he disappeared.
Yeah.
Dykstra they offered before he even played as a freshman. Committed to Iowa State before he even played. And then he ended up going to what? North Dakota, South Dakota State, one of those two schools.
Oh, yeah. One of the guys from Rock Valley?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they both went to South Dakota State.
They did pretty good there.
Yeah.
They were perfect mid-major players.
Yeah.
But we haven't had anyone that we can really sit and watch and in the state of Iowa and cheer for. And I think that, you know, Iowa State can go all over, as we see. They're in Memphis, Chicago, they're all over the place. But the fans, they do like to see an Iowa kid that they can get behind and cheer for.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that is part of what makes Fred Hoiberg so great, is that he is an Ames boy.
Oskaloosa's hot country, though.
That's fine. It's still Iowa, though, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's an end-all, but I do think people will like that. And it'd be fun if he commits to Iowa State down the road and you get to sit and watch him for 2 years. It'd be fun to follow him for 2 years, an Iowa kid that's going to be going to Iowa State.
Yeah, I agree. I'd be going to the state tournament. I mean, they're going to probably win the state championship with this 6'9", 200-pound guy, class 3A.
You know, are big guys that important in high school basketball? You were a big guy in high school. I think it's a little different for you, though. You were what, 1A?
I was in 2A.
2A?
Yeah.
And you're 6'7".
Yeah.
Did you just dominate?
When we would play other 2A teams, I usually had put up good numbers. But we played a lot of 3A schools in our conference. Pretty much our conference was all 3A schools except for us and Shenandoah.
See, but you probably were never going up against other guys your height at all.
No.
So it's going to be very similar for him. I mean, he might go up against a 6'6 guy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The tallest kind of guy he's probably ever going to face is, you know, 6'6", 6'7". Like, he's going to have good height advantage on pretty much everybody. Until you get to the state tournament, then you can see a lot more guys that are a little bit bigger. But
yeah.
He's gonna put up numbers though.
As a freshman,
yeah. I would willing to bet that, yeah.
No, he will be interesting. Is there any other kids from Iowa that Iowa State's going after?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't know who the next like big high school kids are.
You know, it's funny because Iowa State and Iowa State's recruiting, I think, has been pretty good here the last couple of weeks. But Iowa goes after a lot of Iowa kids.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that. Like, I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be fun to have an Iowa kid on the team.
I agree.
Boo Boo Powell, last one from Iowa?
Yeah. Was Ellerman from Iowa?
I have no idea where Ellerman
is. Wes Grader's on the team. He's from Gilbert.
No, that doesn't count. I'm talking about kids that play.
Oh. Well, he's on the team. No. Boo Boo didn't play his senior year.
No, but he played his sophomore and a little bit of his junior year. I'm trying to think of the last guy from Iowa that Iowa State had on the team that's played.
I don't know. It has to be Boo Boo.
Man, that's crazy. All right.
So
those are the guys. Yeah. Those are everyone that they're going after. Any other names that we need to? Anything? Any updates on Stokes?
I got nothing.
Nothing on Stokes.
I don't think he likes to talk to reporters.
Terrence Lewis was in town that weekend as well. Any updates from him? I mean, he's obviously committed.
Yeah, he doesn't like to talk to reporters either.
Man, what do you guys do to these kids that they don't want to talk to you?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't trust the media either, but these kids are still, they're young. They don't know any better, you'd think.
Yeah, you would think.
You want to transition over to football?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, before we do, I would just want to take this moment to thank the Exercise Coach in West Des Moines for once again sponsoring the On the Trail podcast. The Exercise Coach, call them, mention Cyclone Fanatic. You get 4 free workouts free to start. Nobody else is getting that deal. Only people that are listening here and mentioning Cyclone Fanatic. The great thing about it is, too, they go in there. They get you all set up for your individual strengths. You will go in there. It will say your name on there, and you won't have to push as hard as Jared does. Jared's, you know, young, strong guy. You know, he probably pushes, you know, I don't know, what, 300-400 pounds, Jared, benching?
Sure.
No comment. Okay. But no, you go in there, and it's just for you. It gets you fatigued, but does not make your muscles hurt. And now is a great time to go in there, too, not only because you're going to get the 4 free workouts, but they're starting the Metabolic Comeback Challenge here this October. So not only are you going to get the workouts, they're going to give you the tools to know what to put in and out of your body. You will do it for 1 month. And I'm telling you, I did it a couple months back. I felt phenomenal that entire month. Give him a call. 515-330-1299. Now over to football, Jared. We got a little bit of news here.
We do?
Yeah, with some of the kids, with some of the games that came up this last week.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I just decided that you're serving a 2-month ban from the CF radio show, Cyclone Fanatic.
Why is that?
Right about Battle Royale. After your antics last week.
Listen here, okay? This was a great idea I had, right? And you ruined it. People listen. I was filling in for Bloom last week on the Battle Royale. You can listen to it on KXNO on Thursday nights. And I said to Jared, I called him up before, and I said, this is what we're going to do. It's me versus Williams Battle Royale. Every single point out of the 5 points, Jared, you give to me. We'll get Chris all worked up, and at the end of it, I will slide a $20 bill over to you on the air, and then we'll listen to Chris as he knows that it's shenanigans, you know, and he goes crazy. And to start the thing, you just throw me under the bus right away on live radio.
Yeah.
And yet I'm the bad guy here.
It's because I respect the integrity of the game.
If you respected the integrity of the game, I would win every time because my answers are clearly better than theirs.
No, I respect the – no. No.
All right. Well, you know what? I'll gladly serve the two-month ban. I won't even go back anymore.
I don't believe that.
Oh, man.
All right. So who's your offensive player of the week?
Offensive player of the week, clearly it is going to be Josh Johnson. He's back. He missed 2 games due to, I believe, an injury. His central – Arkansas Christian team won. They're 4-1 now, and he had 7 catches, 60 yards, 2 touchdowns. He said on Twitter when he comes back he was going to go off, and he did.
There you go.
That's my MVP, buddy.
I'll go with Cordarius Bailey. His team lost 20-17 to West Point. It's Clarksville.
Yeah.
Yeah. 16 tackles.
Ooh.
4 quarterback hurries, 7 solo tackles.
No sacks?
No sacks.
Got to bring that guy
but
down.
But I'm sure that he's facing some double teams. So still getting the hurries, that's pretty good.
He put up a picture of him on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
He's ripped.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh. Him and Cam White both. Different breed of guys than we typically are seeing. 16 tackles. Him and Orion Vance are getting the ball.
Yeah, speaking of Orion Vance, he had 9.5 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and a 27-21 loss to Cedar Falls. That was Cedar Rapids, Washington's first loss.
Any chance we can get them on campus right now for the remainder of the season? We sure could use some guys that could tackle.
Yeah? No, probably not.
Probably can't do that. Oh, man. Watching that game, and there were so many positives about Baylor, so many positives. If we would have sat here and said beforehand that Iowa State was only going to lose by 3, we would have been tickled pink. How it happened is devastating, obviously. But, gosh, if they could just get – the defensive line, I think, gets beat up a little bit more than they should. I think the linebackers are really, really, really poor right now. And so if I was Iowa State coaching staff, I know they have 2 commitments right now. I'd be looking at 2 more, and I'd be looking at any JUCO kids that they could come in and be in the 2D because – right now, they're just not getting the job done at that position.
Yeah.
Now, with that said, I think they would have liked to have played Sutton this year, but he got hurt, correct?
Yeah, I think he broke his hand early in the fall camp, and that kind of set him back. But
That happened.
I think they feel good about him, though, coming in next year. He'll be a guy that will fill in pretty well.
Will he be the middle linebacker, you think?
I don't know. But I know he was right in the mix to get with that job. Coming into fall camp.
Beating out a 5th-year senior in Kane Sealy.
Right.
So, I mean, that's positive.
I feel like with him and Reagan Northrup and
– Willie Harvey.
And Willie Harvey, that's a pretty solid trio, you know. Because Willie – I think both Willie and Reagan will both only be juniors next year.
They will, but they're on the field a lot right now.
Yeah.
And our run defense and linebacker play is not very good.
You see, I always see Willie in on a play, but it's always like – he's never actually making the play, you know?
He kind of like what Jahasson Thomas was until about the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, very similar, where he was always in there, but you got to make plays. You got to make tackles.
Or like, because I think about that one right on the goal line when he ran in and just blew the guy up, the running back, and then Seth Russell ran it in for a touchdown.
Yeah.
That, like, he made a nice play and blew the guy up, but he blew up the wrong guy, you know?
You don't get credit for that.
Right,
Jared.
Exactly.
I'm just telling you right
but
now.
But that's
you
what I'm saying.
You don't get credit for that.
He's in there, like, he's in making a play, but it's the wrong play. Like, I feel like maybe
– So he's not making a play.
In a year, like, he might be able to recognize that a little bit better.
I hope you're right, and there's a decent chance that it could happen, but I think at the same
time – At
least
that's an aggressiveness mistake.
I still think they have to go – I mean, this is a position where the depth is – I mean, you go back and look at Paul Rhodes' recruiting classes for linebacker.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Oh, yeah.
From a retention standpoint, from who they brought in, horrible. So I think even if they do feel better about them, I think you have to go in and you have to over-recruit that position.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Build that depth up like crazy. So I think they got to get at least 2 more at that position. I would almost be done recruiting the offense altogether, offensive line not included, and I would go strictly on the front 7 of that defense, and that's where all the scholarships for the rest are going to.
I just think they want to get 1 more receiver, though, too.
Why? They're fine at receiver.
I don't know.
I mean, don't get me wrong. If you can get a stud, if you can get like a KJ Hamler, you take him. Don't get me wrong there. But I went. If you have somebody that you think can help on the defense, you take that guy first for sure.
Yeah. Junior college linebackers, I don't know about that sometimes.
They're hit or miss. No,
yeah.
I completely agree. I mean, we see it.
Because it's like for every, you know, for every Levante David, you know, there's a guy that doesn't get it, you know?
And Iowa State has had some good JUCO linebackers, like Tim Dobbins, Ace Bowen. Those guys were good players for Iowa State. but, I mean, the depth there, right? I don't know. It's just so bad right now. The linebacker play is so bad.
It has to be a junior college guy that's going to come in and play. Not going to redshirt, you know?
You don't just go get a guy. I mean, like, even like Jordan Harris, we all thought he was going to be a stud because he led the JUCO in tackles.
And then he redshirted.
He had a redshirt.
And that's what I'm saying. If he has to redshirt.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. You don't know that really until you bring him here. You kind of have an idea. You watch tape. You watch the game. You get to know him. You talk to the coach. You have a pretty good idea. But until they're really here and they're trying to learn a Big 12 playbook, you just don't know.
Yeah. Because I think that was what a lot of the problem was for Harris.
Learning the playbook, knowing where to go.
Yeah, he physically, he could do it, you know. And he could run to the ball.
Yeah.
But it was whether or not he could, you know, fulfill his assignments and stuff.
Well, and we're in the Big 12, too, where it's not just running downhill and making tackles.
Right.
You got to drop back in coverage. You got to chase guys in open field. You got to do a lot of that stuff.
Mississippi Junior College sometimes, to an extent, it is just running downfield and making tackles.
Yeah.
You know. But so who else we got here? I gave Vance.
Matt Eaton's Pearl River team is now, I believe, 1-5. They lost again. He had zero catches in the game. They only threw six completed passes, so that I wouldn't worry too much about that. But he did have one run, which was an 18-yard touchdown run.
There we go. So was that his first touchdown of the season?
Yeah, it was his first touchdown.
How many touchdowns has his team even scored?
You know, I think defense is actually more their problem, and they are running the ball more than they're passing. Like, the quarterback was 6-for-10, but they had – I mean, I think they scored 30 points, so they're scoring some points, but yeah. It's on the ground.
Okay. Devin Lamp had 10 tackles, 6 solo, 1 tackle for loss.
By far his best game of the year.
Yeah.
Good for him. Did his team win?
54-50 over Duncanville.
So he didn't play that well. 50 points led up Duncanville. Man. Okay, Charlie Kohler's team continues to absolutely demolish teams. I think the average score right now for his team is like 55-9, and they're 6-0. I took a look at last week. I couldn't find the stats. He had 8 catches for 111 yards in that game. This week he had 3 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown. So the kid's putting up some numbers.
Yeah.
I continue to say after – I mean
– I think he got a ratings bump on
– Did he?
I think he
They gave him a third star or whatever?
Yeah.
Good. I mean, you never, like I said, you don't know until the kids get here, and his team's obviously very good because they're killing people. But you look at his stats, every week he's getting about – I think he's averaging about 80, 90 yards receiving and a touchdown so far for his team. It's pretty solid.
Yeah, that's really good. Camillo, he had 8 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and half a sack in a 27-21 loss to Monterey.
Has his team lost about every game now?
I think they're like – I don't know. They might be like 2-4 or something. Sure,
yeah. Those guys can't get here fast enough either.
No. That dude's just got to be a stud.
Yeah. Well, and they got both him and Lima good size too.
Mm-hmm.
So I...
Lima did not play again in El Camino's loss on a last-second Hail Mary.
I'm looking forward. We're going to do CFTV Live a little bit later here today. I'm looking forward to having Jeff Woody in here and asking Jeff what he thinks the biggest problem is with the run defense, if it is the defensive line or linebackers. I think linebackers, but I think obviously the defensive line needs an upgrade up in the middle.
Once this posts, we will have already done it. So go hear the answer to the question on CFTV Live.
Which you will not have a microphone for me again for the second week in a row?
Yeah, I just don't want to hear your voice, dude.
Pretty intentional.
Like I told you, I'm pretty upset about your antics last week.
We'll get over it.
Cam White had – I couldn't find any defensive stats, but he had 1 catch for 35 yards.
Okay.
In Clinton's 45-21 win over Callaway. Cam Akers, the guy we've talked about a lot.
Every week we talk about a guy that's not committed will not be committed to Iowa State.
No, but it's just – he scored 6 touchdowns and the team had 6 touchdowns. He scored all 6 of them.
That's awesome.
Like, that's just crazy.
And he's one of the number one, number two running back in the country.
Something like that. But he threw for four touchdowns.
Started for 4 touchdowns. You know you're a good athlete when you're doing that.
Yeah.
Alex Kleinow.
Just wait 3 years, 4 years. That guy will be the Heisman Trophy winner.
He hasn't committed anywhere yet, has he?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Alabama or something.
I'm sure. Have you seen Alabama's recruiting class? It's always filthy. They have the number 1, number 4, number 5 recruits in the country committed there right now. That's just not fair.
That's pretty good.
That's not fair. Alex Kleinow, Iowa City West, they beat up on Burlington 52-7. Smoked them. Colin Newell, Ames, they beat winless Sioux City West 52-20.
I was there.
You were there.
I was there.
Was it even close?
I was really pissed because it got up to running clock, and then they gave up a touchdown, and we lost the running clock. And so the last, like, 5 minutes of the game were without running clock.
So you're sitting there just hoping the game was going to get over?
Yeah.
That's funny. Jeff Nogage, Johnstown, Monroe, his team is now 6-0. They smoked someone again.
Nice. It's
a solid program.
Jake Hummel's Dowling team won 63-12 over Council Bluffs Abraham Lincoln.
Wow.
They've outscored their last two opponents 126-18.
This is after they lost to Valley.
Yeah. He had 4 tackles.
Okay. Jeff Nagel from West Delaware, they actually lost. Clear Creek Amana beat them 30-14. So first loss of the year.
Did he have any catches or anything?
He had 2 catches for 34 yards. He also had 7.5 tackles, 2 that were tackles for loss.
Nice.
So, I mean, we think they're going to put him at defensive end, right?
Yeah, I've just been told that he's going to be a big athlete. I don't know if they really know yet.
Yeah. And these are just high school stats. So based off this, it just looks like he's a little bit more productive on the defensive side of the ball.
Who knows how much they really throw to the tight end, though.
Yeah, you never know. This is all just guessing here.
Yeah.
Last one for me is Devin Moore. The team's now 6-0. They beat a winless Cedar Rapids Jefferson team 35-20. I know you don't like to do like the comparisons one versus the other, but Cedar Rapids Washington, where Ryan Vance, I think they beat this team like 44-0.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. These teams play the last game of the season. It'll be interesting to see. He not a great game for him. He's 9-for-16, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. You know, pretty ho-hum.
I've heard he had 2 interceptions.
Yep.
That's like his first 2 interceptions, right? Or just now he has 4?
He's got 4.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, I knew he didn't have very many before.
17 touchdowns to 4 interceptions.
All right. You good?
I'm good, buddy. I'm good. Thanks again to the exercise coach in West Des Moines for sponsoring this podcast. And we got to get out now because we got Jeff Woody here to break down last week's game.
Everybody have a great weekend.